praise God. Welcome to Mastermind. I want to remind our junior high and high schoolers that they're released to head to the Nexus. Somebody will meet you out in the foyer. Would you stand with me just for a moment? All over this nation today, men and women in churches and ministries are responding to the invitation of Franklin Graham to pray for our president. I'm really not concerned about your political affiliation because there are crooks on either side of the aisle. There's corruptness on either side of the aisle. My prayer has been for years, God expose the corruption in Congress and replace it with voices of morality and integrity that will echo the Constitution with wisdom and righteousness. And so that is our prayer. And I am of the persuasion that what Kim Clement prophesied back in 2007 is coming to pass. Before President Trump ever made a decision to run for the presidency. Let me just remind you, whatever you do or do not think, there are many things that are being said about many of our elected officials that are absolutely not true. But in government, that does not surprise me. And if you are a resident in the state of Illinois, God help us. Because now we are subject to one of the most extreme abortion laws in the nation. The state of Illinois is almost broke, and yet men go serve in Springfield and come out millionaires. That troubles me. So God expose the corruption. I pray that our governor will have an experience with the Holy Ghost. I hope that is your prayer. But I invite you to agree with me today as we pray for our president and this nation. The Bible is very clear. When Paul writes, and he makes no difference in terms of affiliation, he simply says, pray for those that are in authority that it might be well and you could live a peaceable life. Father, we thank you today. We stand in agreement with many across this nation and around the world to biblically take a posture and pray for our president, his family. We declare protection, peace, strength, health, clarity, insight, wisdom. Whoever has his ear, let wisdom and righteousness have a voice. God, we pray that your hand would be direct, that you would guide and direct him, speak to him in ways that he will know that it is you. Fill him with your spirit. Let your name be upon his lips each and every day. Let him be so very much aware that there are men and women across this nation and around the world that are praying for the success of this nation and for our president. God, we ask and we come against and stand against every curse spell, witch's hex, incantation that would come against our leaders. We ask, God, that those things would be hindered, restricted, dismantled, bound by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we ask for a release of your spirit in the White House, all of the staff, every advisor, every cabinet member, every czar, every ambassador. God, we ask for spiritual insight, Lord, as we see your word unfolding in our world that is chaotic and confused. Lord, let the preeminence of your lordship be seen from coast to coast and border to border. Let your hand be upon our president, his family, those that serve in our capital. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We began this journey last week dealing with the truth that success in life is seen by what thoughts we allow to invade our thinking, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so our thoughts are the elements that challenge us. And if you are continually negative in how you think, then you will, when faced with a crisis, find a default method. And in a crisis, you will simply return to negative thinking, maybe hoping that something will be different. But out of your mouth comes elements and words like, I'm no good, I'll never make it. I'll never succeed, I'll never get ahead, God's not for me, God doesn't love me, I've done too much bad. And so the enemy utilizes thoughts to create an invisible fortified prison that is not locked. You have the ability to step up and move through the door into freedom at your voice, at your inclination, when filtered through the power of the Word of God. We want to deal today with training your mind. This is not Eastern mysticism where we just open up our mind and clear our thoughts of everything. For some, that's not difficult. But it is opening your heart and your mind to the power of the Word of God that has the ability to transition you. Have you ever noticed irrational behavior in choices that people make? For example, we make the determination we're going to lose weight. So for 2 days, we eat well, and then all of a sudden on the third day, we slip a little donut hole. And condemnation overwhelms us, so we eat 6 donuts and a cinnamon roll chaser. Or we determine that we're going to get out of debt, and then the washing machine breaks, so we go to the mall and buy 2 pairs of shoes to ease the pain. Just irrational behavior. Or maybe you're a young lady that has dated 5 young men that are not Christian and that didn't work out, but number 6 is so cute, you're going to give it another shot. Irrational behavior that makes no sense. And we find ourselves making those decisions, and then we say, when approached by other believers, man, I missed you in church. And your response is, I'm really trying to get there, but I stay up till 3 a.m. playing video games and just can't make it to church. And you can't make the connection because your wires are crossed. Let me take you back to the year 1970 as I stand by a 1964 Impala coupe. Let me just remind you that what I was wearing was in style. Now, this particular vehicle had PosiTrak, dual exhaust, 283 overhead cam, air shocks. I did not put dice on the mirror. That was the generation before me. And so in the midst of all of that, oh God, help us. I wanted to put the coolest stereo system that I could find. And in that day, the current system available was within the form of what we knew as an 8-track tape player. That was before cassettes, before CDs, before MP3 players. So a friend of mine came over on a Friday night, and we spent hours putting the best sound system that I could afford in that vehicle. And for a moment, we got it to work. And my parents opened the door of the garage, thinking that the 3-dog night had just set up for practice, because we had 8 tracks of 3-dog night, Steppenwolf. Some of you are not old enough to remember the Cow Sills and Indian Lake. And so all of a sudden something happened, and we could not get it to work. In our frustration, we decided to go back and check every element from the very beginning. And we discovered that we had 2 wires crossed. When you get your wires crossed, nothing works. You can want it to work. You can insert that 8-track and push play, but nothing was working. So we discovered that our wires were crossed. Can I tell you today that sometimes our wires get crossed? Because if you can change your thinking, you can change your life. We discovered last week that when we speak certain words, neural pathways are created in our brain. If we constantly speak negatively about ourselves, about God, about relationships, then we find ourselves believing the lies of the devil, because God wants to bring the truth to you, and the enemy brings his lies about you. So it's based upon what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what you feel? Are you going to believe what you see? Because everything you see is not always accurate. It is filtered through the lens of our perception and sometimes what we want to believe. And so in a crisis, we default to the mannerism and the pathways in our brain. A doctor, a neurosurgeon from St. Luke's Hospital in Chicago told me years ago that the speech center of the brain has the capacity to control everything in your physical body. So when you get up in the morning and you go, I don't feel good, I don't want to go to work, I don't want to deal with this person, then you release certain chemicals and you create your own depression. You have the ability by the words of your mouth to create an atmosphere in your life. If you get up in the morning and you begin to declare the word of God and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is going to be a great day. I'm anointed of God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Things are going to go well today. Every challenge is going to be overcome by my faith and by the creativity that God gives me. You release dopamine, which is really a legal high that makes you feel good. Now, that's interesting because the church yet has come to a point to grab a hold of that. For whatever reason, we continue to declare the negative things over our life. It is revealed in our culture because there are some arenas in our culture, if you are pro-life, they will hit you, they'll smack you, they'll kick you, they'll spit on you. Back in 1991, I was in Washington, D.C. in January as a part of the pro-life movement. I've never seen in my life so many Hawaiian peace signs echoed to my life as I did on that cold day. If you don't know what a Hawaiian peace sign is, then I do not have the time to explain it. But it is amazing because we can wake up every morning and we can be fearful about what we think might happen. But Matthew says, men's hearts failing for the fear of what might come, not what has happened, of what might come. Why do we continue to speak negatively or fearfully or in a posture of unbelief and doubt unless we look at our history and we think, I've walked through so many things, I'll bet I'm going to have to walk through this. Just because you've walked through the fire and you've walked through the flood does not mean God is not with you. God is for you. God is with you. And He is activated and drawn to you by the things that we declare. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you sayeth will come to pass, you will have what you say. So we've got to begin to declare what the Word says over our lives. It is not the elimination of struggle or challenges or adversity. It is amazing because these things are seen even in a child, even in a baby. I've watched it in Emerson and Elliot. They finally have grown accustomed. They'll smile at Grandpa. They haven't smiled at me for a long time, but they'll smile at Grandma, whatever edge she has. And so it's amazing to, because Elliot's, the bottom of his feet are ticklish. So I'll tickle his feet and he'll smile. Or he will go and utter some kind of verbal vowel sound. And I'll go, oh, isn't that cute? So in his mind, we're creating a neural pathway because he goes, I smile. Grandpa goes, ooh, and I feel good. And people are happy. Hello. You take a child into the store or a child at home, and a child comes and requests from its parent that they want a piece of candy. It's right before lunch, and the parent says, no, you can't have a piece of candy now. So the child goes ahead and throws a fit and screams and throws a tantrum. The parent gives in, and the child has a neural pathway that is created. When I want what I want, I scream and I cry and I get what I need. Some of you need to recognize that your 14-year-old is that way because you didn't deal with them when they were 9 months. And so we create pathways. A child touches a hot stove. That child gets burnt. There is a neural pathway that is created. A hot stove is bad. And that's how we train our minds to think, and we navigate through life that way. Because the speech center of the brain can control those things. It's amazing because Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the wise man said this, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." What you say, you have the ability to speak life or death. Why would you not choose life? Why would you not speak God things over your life? Why would you not speak good things over your life? I am amazed. I see people eliminating Facebook from their life. I haven't eliminated it. I just don't respond. But I am shocked at the carnality and the fleshly conversation and pictures I see on Facebook. And the only reason that I continue to have it is I just keep my pulse on the hand of the church and go, well, that's where we are. So we need to begin to speak positive things. And the only way to do that, this is not mind over matter. This is Jesus and his word over everything. And so we discovered last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. I want to bring this to you again because I believe it's critical. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Hear my heart. When did we ever imagine in our wildest dreams that anyone would come to the table and make a resolution that it would be okay to rip a child from its mother's womb even hours before that child was born? The atrocity of that. You say, well, that doesn't concern me. But the older you become, the less significant you are to society, and euthanasia is the next element on the list of people in this country to eliminate because Social Security and Medicare is almost bankrupt. So if we could just put you to sleep because you've outused your usefulness, let me declare something to you. You may be old enough that you can't jump, can't run, can't shout, but you can still pray and open your mouth and declare the power of the Word of God. And as long as you can declare that, you have usefulness in our culture. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. He said, we have this power, this miracle-working, explosive power that God has given to us. He said, we pull down strongholds, which is a fortified place. I shared with you last week that strongholds are created by lies of the devil. He lies to you one brick at a time, until you are captured in an invisible fortress and you feel that there is no way out. There's always a way out. You are one confession away. You are one declaration away from taking the Word of God and saying, I believe what this Word says. And it has not lost its power. It's not lost its ability. It has not lost its intrinsic nature to help you. When Paul writes this, he is chained in prison. He will spend many years of his life incarcerated, anticipating potential execution. He will write 2/3 of the New Testament. But what he writes in prison is not, I guess I missed the calling of God. I guess God's not for me. I guess I am destined just to become nothing and rot away in a prison cell. But he doesn't say that. Here's what he says while he's in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He writes in Philippians and says, not as though I have apprehended or obtained, but I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I count all things as dung that I might win the excellency of Christ. He begins to fix his thoughts. He declares and says, be not anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God as we press towards the heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. And we, in our culture, and in our Christian culture, have somehow allowed the infiltration of problems to identify us and bad choices to identify us, and we live there and feel as though we can't get past it. It's time that we need to train our mind. Paul conquered his mind. He did not allow his thoughts to control him. Did not allow his thoughts to dictate to him. He does not sit in a prison cell in depression. He writes and he encourages those that have freedom and liberty, but to press on in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit and to reach for those things that are everlasting, not those things that are temporal. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I love what he says. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. I think that's noteworthy. I think it is worthy of our investigation. As Paul writes to this church, and he himself being incarcerated, says, fix your thoughts. Get focused. Don't be distracted. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure. Now listen to this. It could be true and it may not be pure. And lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise in verse 8. So what are you thinking about? Whatever you're thinking on will become a word that is communicated to other people. Are you determined to see the best in that other person, or have we written them off? Have we forgotten about the supernatural miracle-working power of God? I am an eternal optimist. I believe that God has the ability to intervene in other people's lives, but it will take the power of the presence of God in the church and a church declaring, Lord, you still love the world. You still want to reach the lost. You still want to deliver them from captivity. You want to break the bondages over their life. Your confession, when it becomes equivalent and you equate the word and it becomes a part of who you are, then you begin to see things differently. You begin to take on a different perception. So many times we go through our day and we ignore people. Or they cut us off in traffic. I don't want anything harmful to happen to them. I've had people cut me off in traffic. I've had young people that wear their jeans below the half moon mark on their reverse side. And I'm saying, God, please bring a move of the Holy Spirit in their life. They need something because they have reverted to mooning the world. Something's wrong. Something needs to happen. Help the church to make a difference. Those that are God haters, Lord, they don't understand. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Intervene, touch their lives, speak to them in ways that they will know that it's you that's speaking to them. Some of the adversity that you are facing is the enemy trying to keep you from moving into a positive place of power in your life by the words that you say, and if he can keep you engulfed in your temporary problem, he will hinder the power of God flowing through your life. And it's the anointing that is upon you that destroys every yoke, and it's the words that you speak that can bring liberty into someone's life. But the enemy wants us to be distracted by the problems that we have, and he does not want us to see that God is greater than our problems, greater than our mountain, greater than anything. So we have to navigate that. Your life always is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Can I challenge you every morning when you get up? Number one, be thankful that you got up vertical. Every minute, 93 people are taking their final breath. Every minute, 93 people. Every minute. Every hour, since we've been in this service, thousands of people have taken their final breath. How many knew God? How many came in contact with a believer? How many that came into contact with a believer, that believer had the courage to say something, or were they fearful? Were they intimidated? Were they overwhelmed by their own personal problems? Or did they set them aside and say, God, you're bigger than my problems. I need to make a difference in this person's life. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. When you get up in the morning, I dare you just to say, God, I thank you that it's a new day. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is to be praised. Let my life be a beacon and a bastion of hope for somebody. Let my responses be godly. Let my navigation of this day influence or impact somebody's life. I have a lot of things I have to face today, God, and you're aware of it, and you've seen it coming down the road, and I entrust it to you, and I thank you that you're working all things to my good. See, I'm feeling a dopamine release. You might be saying, you're just a dope. Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm having a great time. I'm having so much fun, I can't believe it's sin. Not sin. I know, I'll hear about that when I get home. Those of you that train your body, how do you train your body? How do you lose weight? How do you get trim? For those of you that have no interest in that, let me say it again. How do you... You exercise, do something. You try to eat the right way. How do you? You need to exercise your mind. You need to train your mind. You need to feed your mind with the right things. Reruns of Dallas may not help you. Reruns of Peyton Place, I'm dating myself, will not help you. Watching certain, whatever you watch, whatever you read, whoever you listen to, you're allowing them to have an element of control over your life and how you think. We were in service in Herrick, Illinois years ago on a Wednesday night, and we were receiving prayer requests, and pastor's mom stood up from the back and requested prayer for this lady, and we just prayed with all diligence for this lady to be touched. And so when I connected with her after church, I said, do you have an address or a phone number that I can call this lady? I said, no, she's on a soap opera and she's in a real hard place. I don't know if she got healed or not. I don't watch. But life must be awful boring if we have to revert to a movie to satisfy us and to fulfill some desire within us. Let me share with you two disciplines that we want to talk about over the next couple of weeks. The first discipline is the discipline of meditation. What are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? What is the majority of your thought life given to? Is it given to the authority, the power, the strength, the ability of God to help you? Or is the majority of your meditation and what you think about how things are not going well and what may not happen and what is going to overwhelm you? See, David was very clear in Psalms 1. He said, he that meditates upon the word of the Lord day and night will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and everything that he does shall prosper in its season. What are you meditating upon? The word meditate means to exercise your mind. It literally means to focus, to engage in mental exercise. But here's what's interesting. When you begin to examine the term meditate or meditation, it can mean to think about something that you're angry about or something that brings pleasure. Whatever you meditate upon is what you're going to become. If you don't like how your life is going, then look at what you're meditating about. Because what you think about will eventually become what you speak and what you say. Hallelujah. I thank God every day for my wife. I thank God that I would be willing to lay down my life for her. She sacrifices more than most people even know. And so, God, I thank you that you've brought us together. I thank you that our marriage is happy, and I will declare that even when it's not going really well. Not that it's my fault. But declarations that you make, remember that your life will go in the direction of your strongest thought, and what you think is what you'll speak. What are you saying? What are you speaking? What are you embracing? Are you filling your mind with the Word of God? Are you filling it with truth? Are you meditating? Are you focusing? Are you not willing to be distracted? I declare the greatness of God in your life. I declare that you're going to impact people's life. I declare that creativity is birthed on the altar of your heart. that you are destined to do great things. You're destined to impact and influence people's lives. I declare today that when we pray, that God is moving you beyond what you are not, because that's where we linger and that's where we stay. And sometimes when we come out of the furnace of affliction, we forget how God has delivered us. I don't ever want to forget how God touched my life and brought me through some difficult places that I don't want to go back to and I don't want to rehearse. Is it possible that we find ourselves going from battle to battle to battle to battle because we haven't shifted what we meditate upon? Psalms 119, verse 15, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. The King James says, I'll meditate on your ways. When is the last time you took a few minutes and just meditated upon the goodness of God and how God has touched your life and transitioned your life and transformed your life? When's the last time you just took a few minutes, turned the TV off, turn something else off, find yourself, lock yourself away. If you're a mom with kids at home, it's going to be a challenge. Give them some NyQuil, they'll go to sleep. And just begin to meditate. If you have a 10-minute drive to work or a 30-minute or a 5-minute drive to work, take some time and meditate on the goodness of God and what God has done for you. And if it hadn't been for the goodness of the Lord, you might not be here today. Maybe you need to thank God that you're not in cell block B because you didn't get caught. Most of us didn't get caught. Is there anybody within the sound of my voice that has ever done anything to deserve incarceration, but you didn't get caught? Let the camera span the congregation. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalms 143 and verse 5. Meditate. Think about the goodness of God. I remember the days of old. I ponder all of your great works. Can you think of a situation today where you were up against a wall and it didn't look like there was any way out and God came through for you anyway? Think about that. When the devil tries to enlarge the picture of adversity in front of you, you begin to meditate on how God set you free and liberated you. See, the church must get past the superficial artificiality of Christian living. Going to church doesn't make you a blood-bought, sky-blue, Jesus-name powerhouse. I'm glad that you're here. But we're watching in our culture, the culture influencing the church, and the church is having an opportunity right now to shift that. I don't know how many of you listen to the prayer of a pastor in Springfield on Friday and Saturday who engaged and asked God's forgiveness over every representative and senator that voted for this incredible abortion law. Had the courage. I've been there. I've prayed that. I have prayed in that hall, and I've watched as people mingle back and forth and have no regard for prayer to the Most High. Until they hear something that stirs them up. You need to be ready because things are about to be stirred in a new way. And in the midst of that, every crisis will be a bridge for a creative miracle. Every crisis is an opportunity for God's power to be seen. So don't retreat from the crisis. Stand up against it and say, God, in your name today, in Jesus' name, we win, we always win. The church is destined to win. No matter what happens, no matter what comes against us, we win. We meditate, we ponder upon the great things of your power and ability. Focus is a skill. You have to learn to focus. People are getting very focused in our day. They're able to text and drive at the same time. This wonderful bridge project that we have down here, I get behind people and the light turns green and nobody moves. Now, a few weeks ago, I began to make this statement. Hey, light's green in Illinois. That means go. I said that with music loud and my windows up. But now I'm beginning to pray and say, God, thank you that they are so incredibly multitasking. Because you can watch them. They're on their phone. They're not paying attention to nothing. And they're swerving all over the road. Whatever's on that text must be important. I just pray and say, God, don't let me come up behind them and have to pray for a miracle of healing. We got our priorities wrong. We can't hardly put our phone down for 20 minutes afraid that somebody will text us. It has to be critical. It's probably life-changing. What would happen if you take 15 minutes and focus? Because when our mind drifts, it normally drifts towards the lies of the enemy. This isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to win. So let me ask you this question, because I want to make some declarations to you in the next couple of moments. What stronghold is holding you back? What is the element in your life that is resisting you? What is keeping you back? Fear of change? Fear of transformation? Fear of rejection? What is the element in your life that is the stronghold in your life? Is it an addiction? Is it a bondage? I spoke with a gentleman one day, and there was a particular addiction in his life. And this gentleman looked at me and said, I could quit anytime. I said, then quit today. Well, I'm not ready, but I could quit anytime. You only know what you're willing to practice. If you're addicted to something and you make that kind of a statement, then you're still addicted. But Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said to the household of Stephanas, those who have addicted themselves to the ministry of saints, those who are hooked on impacting other people's lives, those who are overcome by the power of the kingdom. Focus is critical. You've got to identify where your wires are crossed. Have you ever made a decision? Let's just use, you know, I want to try to get sugar out of my life. That's tough, because everything we have has got sugar. For all of my great Mountain Dew friends. Or you go to McDonald's in a couple weeks. Give me a Big Mac, super size the fries, and I need to watch my weight, give me a Diet Coke. It's probably worse for you than the real thing. In the church that we were in Effingham, we would fast for a week. And so I'd make up my mind, because fasting is not something I enjoy. I prefer to fast fasting. So I made up my mind that day. I went out on my route, did real good, came home about 3:30, and lo and behold, what's coming out of the oven? My wife decides that she's going to make an apple pie. You say, well, how did you know that she was cooking? Well, because the kitchen looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy had exploded. So I had people ask me, so what did you do? Did you stay firm to your convictions? I said, absolutely. I ate that whole pie. How many of you know sometimes it's tough when you make a decision and a determination that you're going to do something? But don't condemn yourself and not move forward. So I'm not going to allow this addiction to overwhelm me. And then we get in the wrong place with the wrong people because of choices we've made. And I wonder if we would have just spent some time meditating on the goodness of God, identifying what is trying to hold us back from breakthrough, what is trying to give us the greatest struggle, and we just begin to meditate on God's goodness and say, Lord, you brought me out of this. I know that you will help me with this. You have to identify the truth that can break the stronghold in your life. Fear is so very prevalent in our culture. People are so overwhelmed. I had a young lady in my office a couple weeks ago, and with tearful spasm, she just kept saying, why is God against me? I said, God's not against you. And yet we make those statements but never make a decision to find out what God is all about or his character, or to find out, here's what I hear from people, I can serve God, I don't have to go to church. I'm just tired of even answering that question. Why is it that you want to serve God, but you don't want to be around where God's presence is? Why is it you say you can serve God, but you don't want to be around God's people? Hello? God's calling for us to be strong. So some of the declarations that you can make today, would you stand with me, because we're going to pray in just a moment. It's an enormous presence of the Holy Spirit in our altar time. I hope that you take advantage of that. I hope that you will take this, and today, somewhere, sometime, Begin to think upon the goodness of God. If you don't have declarations that you make in the morning, every morning, some of the declarations I make are like this. God, I thank you for another day. This is the day that you've made. The devil didn't make this day. He will challenge me today, but you're greater than all things, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I thank you that I walk in your anointing. I walk in your creativity. I thank you that I love leaders. I love pastors. I'm going to make a difference in somebody's life today. I'm not going to be discouraged by what happens in my life because you have an answer and a remedy for all things. I declare today from Isaiah 54 and verse 14 that all my children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be the peace of my children. I declare that no weapon formed against me will prosper and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it now and I determine that I'm going to walk in faith, hope, and charity. I'm going to walk in the love of God today. I'm going to walk in the peace of God today. I'm going to walk in the power of God today. And if pain comes, it's my friend, because in pain I find purpose. Come on, somebody. I'm going to rejoice in all things. I'm going to rejoice in you. The world's going to be different because I'm serving you. My words, my thoughts, my imaginations are under the power of Jesus Christ, and anything that tries to deter me, anything that tries to take over my thought life, I bring it under subjection to the Word of God. I love people. I'm going to find the best about them today. I'm going to walk in discipline because Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I'm going to overcome those things because I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you today. I'm empowered. I'm equipped. I'm called. I thank you today that I'm driven. I'm focused. I'm blessed beyond measure because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. I thank you that no foe can defeat me. No obstacle can overcome me because you live in me big and you have a future for me and I will overcome. I declare I am strong and mighty in your power. I declare, God, that because of you, my past does not rule me and my future beckons me to walk by faith and to see the power of God work. I will not become hostage to unhealthy thoughts. I will take them captive immediately. Within 3 seconds, they determine that you make a decision to go one way or the other. In that 3 seconds, God, let me embrace your power. I declare, Lord, you're my helper. I will not be afraid of anything. Fear has no place in my life. When you begin to declare those things, the atmosphere changes. Your mentality, your expectations change. Your demeanor changes. You walk differently. You hold yourself differently. You walk in confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if he hears us, then we have our prayers answered.